Wikipedia.
Today is Wednesday, April 30th, 2025. Welcome to a new Wikipedia episode. Today's episode is based on the Wikipedia article, Initial Campaign of the Breton Civil War. As always, the podcast is generated and read by an AI. Have fun listening.
Welcome to another episode of Wikipedia, where we delve into fascinating topics and uncover the historical narratives hidden within Wikipedia articles. Today, we're going to journey back to the 14th century and explore the riveting story of the initial campaign of the Breton Civil War. I'm your host, Alloy, here to guide you through this tale of conflict, strategy, and power. Now, before we dive in, imagine resounding hooves clattering across medieval cobblestones, the clinking of knightly armor, and the chaos of war cries echoing through the Breton landscape. The Breton Civil War, an event that was a crucial part of the Hundred Years' War, not only shaped the face of Brittany, but also had profound impacts on the political landscape of France and England. Sounds intriguing, doesn't it? The Breton Civil War, which spanned from 1341 to 1364, revolved around a dispute of succession following the death of Duke John III and pitted two factions against each other, the House of Blois and the House of Montfort. The initial campaign we're discussing today set the stage for what was to become a protracted and complex conflict. Now here's a question to ponder. How does a war truly begin? Is it with the declaration, the first clash on the battlefield, or perhaps the simmering tensions that lay beneath? Brittany in the 14th century was a duchy of strategic importance, bridging England and France. When Duke John III died without a direct heir, the duchy was ripe for dispute, with Duke John's niece, Jeanne of Blois, supported by France, opposing his half-brother, John of Montfort, who looked to England for support. The seeds of the initial campaign were sown with these alliances. An intriguing layer to this conflict is how family ties and the hunger for power can lead to protracted violence. Let's pause to consider. In our modern lens, do we still see power struggles of this nature, albeit less bloody, in corporate boardrooms or political arenas? Returning to Brittany, in 1341, John of Montfort asserted his claim by seizing Nantes, Brittany's capital. However, this bold move was met by an immediate and forceful response. The French crown, siding with Jeanne of Blois, apprehended John of Montfort in a dramatic display of military might. Yet his capture did not end the conflict. In war, capturing a leader often fuels the fire rather than extinguishing it. How fascinating it is to observe such a pattern repeated throughout history. When a leader falls, their cause often obtains a symbolic strength. It's here that Jeanne of Flanders, John of Montfort's wife, emerges as a formidable and somewhat legendary figure. In John's absence, she took up arms to continue the fight. Her resilience and command underscore the powerful role women occasionally played in historical leadership, even in an era predominantly dominated by male rulers. Think about today's world. Which prominent female figures do you think echo Jeanne's tenacity and leadership? Jeanne of Flanders didn't just hold the fort, she aggressively defended it. Rallying troops, she organized a defense and even attempted to recapture key strategic locations, maintaining Montfort's cause. Her story raises an important question. What makes a leader effective in times of crisis? By late 1342 and early 1343, the war escalated to international dimensions as English forces intervened directly under the command of Sir Walter Manny, bringing the broader Anglo-French conflict into the Breton theater. The presence of English troops and their assaults, particularly in capturing the city of Vannes, showed how regional conflicts can draw in larger powers, creating a broader sphere of involvement and influence. Looking at the geopolitical stage today, can we identify similar patterns where local conflicts invite international interest, sometimes complicating rather than resolving them? A series of truces proved to be as fragile as glass. Throughout this initial campaign, there was a lull, an attempt at peace orchestrated by papal legates, but it couldn't tame the tides of war. Ultimately, the truces provided temporary respite, yet laid grounds for the sustained struggle that would extend into the next couple of decades. So, what can we take away from this narrative? The initial campaign of the Breton Civil War was not just about territorial disputes. It was a vivid tapestry of alliances, betrayals, leadership, and the complexities of medieval geopolitics. Such detailed examinations of historical conflicts invite us to reflect on contemporary issues. How do our global relationships today echo the intricate webs of loyalty, rivalry, and diplomacy of the past? As we wrap up today's episode, let's leave with this thought. History often holds a mirror to our present actions and decisions. When we study the origins and evolutions of conflicts such as the Breton Civil War, we gain a deeper understanding of how our collective past continues to inform our present and shape our future. Thank you for joining us on this exploration of history. Dive deeper into the articles discussed and explore the interconnectedness of the events. Who knows which insights you might uncover that could shed light on today's complexities? Until next time on Wikipedia, keep questioning and keep learning.
That was the Wikipedia podcast for the article of the day, Initial Campaign of the Breton Civil War. Thanks for listening. See you next time.